You're listening to the Live Free Now podcast, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free, prosperous, and healthy life. Find us online at livefreenow.show. And now your host, John Bush. Hey friends, welcome to the Live Free Now podcast, and today we are going to be bringing you a health freedom report where we break down what's going on in the world, specifically with the focus on coronavirus, aka COVID-19. There is a lot of craziness going on in the world, and there's a pandemic. Everyone's worked into a frenzy, so there's plenty of news to cover. And we want to thank you for joining us today. First, I want to invite you to check out the website, healthfreedom.report. Be sure that you bookmark it as well on your favorite browser. We update it regularly, just about every single day, with the breaking news and everything that's going on in the health freedom world, plant medicine world. And, you know, lately it's been dominated by coronavirus. Well, to tell you the truth, we started it with the coronavirus going on. So it's mainly dominated with coronavirus news, but we share a lot of good stuff on here that is from a health freedom perspective, covering some articles that you may not find elsewhere. And in case you didn't notice, it is modeled after the Drudge Report. So check out that. And please bookmark the Health Freedom Report in one of your browsers, your favorite browser. Bookmark us, check us out. I also want to shout out our sponsor here, Brave Health Store. Check out bravehealthstore.com. We got some great hand sanitizer. It's colloidal silver based, a little bit of alcohol as well. And then you can get the straight colloidal silver, which is a known antiviral, antibacterial agent. There's immune boosting herbs. The Zap one's great. It's got garlic, echinacea, all that good stuff. If you want to support the Conscious Resistance Network, if that's where you happen to be watching us, you can click on the link down below and the Conscious Resistance Network will get a little commission action. There's also an echinacea supplement, which I also take every day. In fact, I'll take some right now. It's an alcohol-based tincture. Some people might want to mix it with water because it is kind of strong. Take a couple of those each day. Again, that's bravehealthstore.com. All right, well, let's get right down to it, folks. We got a lot of news to cover, and we're going to hit you with some hard stuff. What we have up in the breaking story, which we'll go ahead and start off with, is Jared Kushner, one of Trump's main advisors. They are looking to put together a national coronavirus surveillance system. And this was kind of the goal before coronavirus even popped off. People that are familiar with Bill Gates's activities, Event 201, which is a simulation that took place last year on what would happen if there was a wide scale pandemic. All along, there's been an effort to create more of a surveillance society in a range of different areas. And unfortunately, those that are in power often will utilize fear and a crisis in order to bring about more controls, whether it's regulating your freedom, limiting your liberty, or increasing surveillance and eroding your privacy. And unfortunately, when the public at large is in a state of fear, they are far more susceptible to accepting such surveillance. So that's unfortunate. But let's hit you with the article here. This one is from, oh, my computer's kind of slow. That's not good. This is from Politico.com. Kushner's team seeks national coronavirus surveillance system. Critics worry about a Patriot Act for healthcare, raising concerns about patient privacy and civil liberties. We do have a lot of medical privacy in this country for the most part. Who knows what the NSA is tapping into? But there are HIPAA laws, and generally there's a understanding that you don't share that information, but a lot of that stuff's been relaxed. The article says White House senior advisor Jared Kushner's task force has reached out to a range of health technology companies about creating a national coronavirus surveillance system to give the government a near real-time view of where patients are seeking treatment and for what, and whether hospitals can accommodate them, according to four people with knowledge of the discussions. Man, that's one long sentence there, huh, Politico? The proposed national network could help determine which areas of the country can safely relax social distancing rules and which should remain vigilant. but it would also represent a significant expansion of government use of individual patient data, forcing a new reckoning over privacy limits amid a national crisis. And as I said before at the onset of the video, there's this old quote from Rahm Emanuel, never let a good crisis go to waste. And those that seek to control people more and surveil people more are most definitely not letting this crisis go to waste. And we see that it's all tied back into this whole shelter in order, which I did a video previously called Coronavirus Real Talk, Problems and Solutions. And not only myself, but there's other countries that are attempting this, South Korea, Sweden, for example, whereby instead of sheltering in the entire public, you shelter in those susceptible populations, which we find out based on information from Italy, 99% of those that have passed from coronavirus had pre-existing conditions. A large majority of the people, up to 80% in some studies from China, had little to no symptoms whatsoever. But as I said before, there's many people in power that simply want to create more surveillance and more control over people. Now we see, again, to bring up Bill Gates, he has a lot to do with everything going on. This is a TechCrunch article that is basically the written transcript from, maybe it was a video AMA, or it was one that was written out. Yeah, he was doing a Ask Me Anything. And what site was it on? It was on Reddit. Bill Gates doing a Ask Me Anything. And he's asked down here, this is really telling, and this is what's been going on for quite some time. This isn't news to anyone. But the question is, how should we determine which businesses should stay open? And the answer from Bill Gates, the question of which businesses should keep going is tricky. Certainly food supply and health system. We still need water, electricity, and the internet. Supply chains for critical things need to be maintained. Countries are still figuring out what to keep running. And here's the kicker here, folks. Eventually, we will have some digital certificates to show who has recovered or been tested recently. Or when we have a vaccine, who has received it. And in my opinion, this is very troubling. The prospect, the thought of not being able to travel, to have the liberty of movement, unless you have been proven to have either antibodies, you become immune because you got the virus, or unless you've gotten a vaccine. And I can tell you myself, I won't be taking the coronavirus vaccine. And that's a pretty big line in the sand that I would draw if there were forcible vaccines. And so this isn't all new stuff. This has been slowly but surely been rolling out, and there's been desensitization efforts going on. But I also want to point out something that was brought to my attention today by Derek Brose. So the idea is a digital certificate, right? And unfortunately, we see news outlets like naturalnews.com ran a story about the ID 2020 program, which is Microsoft partnered with the Global Vaccine Initiative, I think that's what it's called, and the Rockefeller Foundation, which many people are well aware, they have been actively rolling out the furtherance of supranational global governance. And in the article, it's like ID 2020, because they're also partnering with the city of Austin, which is where I happen to reside. And they're like, they plan to do microchips in homeless populations. That's where this is going. I tried to confirm the actual inserting of microchips as part of the ID 2020. And if anybody has evidence of that, or ID 2020 program specifically stating that, please share that with me. But one thing that they have talked about, and Bill Gates is even involved with some of these programs and has encouraged some of this technology. This is an article from Rice University News and Media Relations. Quantum dot tattoos hold vaccination records. I should say the ID 2020, one of their big goals partnering with this vaccine alliance is to identify people and to identify people for the purpose of ensuring that they've had their vaccinations, their inoculations. Rice bioengineer reveres dissolving microneedles that also embed fluorescent medical info. So this is the technology that they may use before everyone's been conditioned to accept vaccines as something that they would put into their bodies. I mean, people are already doing that. We see all across the world, and it's like supposed to be this trendy kind of thing, which is strange. But it looks like it's these needles that get pushed down into you, and then you see they're scanning it with a cell phone here. Kevin, keeping track of a child's shots could be so much easier with technology invented by a new Rice University professor and his colleagues. Kevin McHugh, an assistant professor of bioengineering at Rice since this summer, and team at his previous institution, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, report on a cover story in Science Translational Medicine on their development of quantum dot tags that fluoresce with information after they're injected as part of a vaccination. We have this little image here. So you see how this all ties in together. Bill Gates is saying eventually we will have some digital certificates. And notice how he says it so matter of fact. Eventually we will have them. It's not eventually I'd like to see, or it may be a good idea if this were to happen. He says eventually we will have that. And then once again, we see the White House actively working to further a mass surveillance grid that ties in with your medical records, and perhaps the shelter in was part of this as well. People getting so worked up and so tired of being sheltered in that they would accept this vaccine. There's a lot of fear out there around the coronavirus. Much of it is rightly so, but it is no doubt being sensationalized. And we see, of course, part of the sensationalism is because of the high death count. But we learned from Fox News today that Dr. Birx, who's on Trump's task force for coronavirus, says government is classifying all deaths of patients with coronavirus as COVID-19 deaths, regardless of the cause. This has been speculated before, and people have brought this out to the forefront. But essentially, if someone goes to the hospital and they're having coronavirus symptoms, but they also have major heart issues, or they also have some other alternative condition, a pre-existing condition, and they pass from the pre-existing condition, maybe it's been exacerbated by the symptoms of COVID-19, they go ahead and chalk that up as a COVID-19 death. And I know there's been other stories that have reported that there's a gross underreporting of the COVID-19 deaths, but we see articles like this that are directly contrary to that. The article goes on to say that they're going to go ahead and include it. This is what Birx says here. There are other countries that if you have a pre-existing condition and let's say the virus caused you to go to the ICU and then have a heart or kidney problem, some countries are recording that as a heart issue or a kidney issue, not a COVID-19 death. The intent is if someone dies with COVID-19, we are counting that. And then later she says, I'm pretty sure that New York City and New Jersey and places that have these large outbreaks and COVID-only 19 hospitals, I can tell you they're testing. This guy, Dr. Michael Baden, says in the normal course, autopsies would then determine whether the person died of the effects of COVID virus, whether the person had a brain tumor or brain hemorrhage, for example, that might be unrelated to it, and whatever relative significance to both the infection and the pre-existing disease. But this guy rightly points out that, where does he say it? He points out that because the person has the virus and they're highly infectious, there may not be an autopsy performed. Or just exactly because there are so many deaths, there are so many cases, there may not be autopsies performed on these people to go in and correct the record if, in fact, they did die because of the heart disease. And again, to talk about the statistic that I pointed out earlier, a study in Italy showed that 99% of those that passed had pre-existing conditions. So we see that perhaps this is being played up in order to further these programs. I mean, I always try to avoid speculation and to focus on specific facts and that which can be proven. But just to speculate, because I have a rich knowledge, a depth of knowledge about those that are in power in the Western world, especially, they always seem to use the problem reaction solution Hegelian dialectic, where there's a problem, whether it's caused or not. 9/11, for example, it was caused by the powers that be, or they let it happen. Then there's a reaction, oftentimes fear. Fear makes it very easy to control populations. And then they roll out a solution. They being those that are in power, the ruling class, roll out a solution, which oftentimes isn't good for the little guy. And it definitely isn't good for your freedom. In the case of 9/11, people were afraid of being killed by terrorists. So they rolled out the Patriot Act, furthered the NSA's power, the National Defense Authorization Act, John Warner, NDAA, which had the indefinite detention. And now we see the problem is the coronavirus pandemic. The reaction is a lot of fear that's being pushed up and played up and trumped up, pun intended, by the media. Actually, Trump's doing the opposite. He's kind of downplaying, and he's been a little more balanced than the media out there. We see that by them blasting him for just saying that chloroquine could be a possible solution. And then the solution is, of course, this surveillance grid and all this nasty stuff. So we're definitely going to be covering this angle with the Health Freedom Report. And we do have a little section here where we put surveillance information, police state martial law stuff as well. This is the surveillance section. So they're also in Singapore and in China, they've been using cell phone technology to track people that have received coronavirus, that have gotten coronavirus. And now they're talking about just having a digital certificate. That digital certificate could be on the phone. The digital certificate could also be in these little pin pricks, or in fact, in the future, could be in a microchip. It just depends on how far they're going to roll with that. You know, another thing, good old Dr. Fauci, we're seeing a lot of lately. He even came out and said he doesn't think Americans should ever shake hands again to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. He also recently said that we can expect this to potentially be a seasonal issue. So for those of you that are hoping for this to be over sometime soon, it likely will not be over anytime soon. And we can expect the powers that be, I guess old bro says the powers that wish they were, to continue to take advantage of this to further the police surveillance state. In this article, let me get the actual quote that he says. When you gradually come back, you don't jump into it with both feet. You say what are the things you could still do and still approach normal. One of them is absolute compulsive hand washing. The other is you don't ever shake anybody's hands. I think he goes on to be a little more specific about being in the long term about it too. So, I mean, it's bad news. Bad news bears, everybody. Bad news bears, ladies and gentlemen. What else do we have here for the news? Again, this is all at healthfreedom.report, and I invite you to bookmark healthfreedom.report in your favorite browser. You can go to healthfreedom.report and then pull down your little tab there on the right, bookmark it so you can check back with us regularly. Here's a story that illustrates why it's absolutely important that we have healthy diets, right? There's two types of diabetes. One of them, you kind of are inherited. But we know about epigenetics too, so maybe that doesn't even necessarily mean that you'll be guaranteed to have diabetes. But the other type is something that people cause based on their diet. Now we see people that have a mere impaired immunity gene expression may explain higher COVID-19 risk in people with diabetes. So it's absolutely important that we all take care of our good health, because not only does diabetes come with its own problems for your life and your standard of living, quality of life, but whenever we have SARS or MERS rolling around, you're more likely to have severe symptoms and have issues. That's one of the pre-existing conditions that could lead to a greater chance of death if someone were to get coronavirus. And on that note, gardening, it's absolutely important that we protect our food supply. We get out in, get our hands dirty in the dirt. We soak up some vitamin D. And we have an article here from Euronews with the headline, "Why Gardening Should Be Your Go-To Quarantine Activity." Fed up with being on lockdown and anxious about the coronavirus pandemic? One expert says the answer is getting your fingers green. Gardening expert John Sterling told Euronews, people looking to relax should pick up a trowel for a productive and healthy hobby. If you've got a garden, just get out there and enjoy it, because it's therapeutic and you're out there with nature. And at this time of year as well, the birds are singing, they're mating and everything like that. So it's a fabulous time to start. And that is great advice indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Let's take every opportunity we have to improve ourselves and to improve our access to food throughout this process. Perhaps you've gone to the grocery store and you've seen the shortages that exist early on, especially all of the fresh food was just wiped out. Well, wouldn't it be nice if you could just go in your backyard to get that produce, to get the greens for your salad, or a community garden, for example? I've definitely gotten back into gardening much more since this coronavirus thing started. So never let a good crisis go to waste. And let's take advantage of the opportunities at hand. It's not all dark and gloomy. But there are a lot of people that are concerned, and there's definitely increasing in fear, not just fear of the virus, but fear of civil unrest. And that fear of civil unrest has led to 2 million guns being sold during March, as sales skyrocket to second highest level ever. Can anyone guess when the first highest levels were? Anyone there in the comments? I'm looking at the comments now. Anyone guess when the highest record number of gun purchases happened? Anybody? Anybody? This is from the Mind Unleash. We share a lot of their articles. They got a lot of really good stuff from a nice liberty, open-minded, free-thinking perspective. Well, the second highest sales numbers ever seen in the U.S., surpassed only by the January after, no, not Columbine. That was a while ago. Sandy Hook. Columbine, I don't think they had the crazy media coverage and the sensationalism like we saw with the Sandy Hook shooting. So this has been the highest since then. People are arming themselves. And let me see a related story. Here's why some people are arming themselves. Coronavirus update. Already struggling small businesses in South Bay being targeted by robbers. So you got to be really low on the totem pole of human beings to go out and rob people through this. People that are having to close up their store and are likely suffering financially. And then you have thieves out there, private thieves. We're so used to public government thieves. We have private thieves out there looting and robbing and being all around terrible human beings. And that's one of the reasons why we have people purchasing firearms. Well, let's chat about the economy a little bit. Here's another scary statistic. 43% of small businesses say they'll be forced to close permanently if they don't get help soon, survey says. This is from MarketWatch.com. Small businesses are suddenly hanging on by a thread. 43% of small businesses say they will have to permanently close within 6 months without some sort of quick cash infusion or fast improvement in economic conditions, according to a Friday survey that gives another look into the coronavirus outbreak's swift and severe economic damage. They're estimating that there's going to be up to 25% unemployment, which are numbers that haven't been seen since the Great Depression. We're likely only seeing the onset of the economic problems because, as this article pointed out, there are people that are saying they're going to have to close. And there's also at the top of the article, it says that there's money being made available for small businesses, $350 billion in forgivable loans. Well, that was part of the $2 trillion stimulus package. In addition to the $2 trillion that Congress passed, this is all money that's just being created out of thin air by the Federal Reserve banking system. There have already been several bailouts directly to the banks and big corporations in the form of quantitative easing, just simply adding money to the marketplace. So while we do have the short-term effects of the shelter-in orders, many economists worry that the short-term effects, the loss of business, the loss of income, the loss of productivity, the loss of GDP, and couple that with the crazy printing of money could lead to inflation, could lead to more severe economic problems. And we could see what will likely be entering a recession turn into a depression pretty quickly. So that's really unfortunate. And, you know, small businesses are the backbone of the economy. And we're seeing a lot of changes and a lot of shifts because of this coronavirus. One of those shifts will be smaller businesses will likely be decimated en masse, but those larger firms, the larger grocery stores, for example, the Walmarts will be able to survive, not only because they are getting bailout money as well and larger forgivable loans, but also because they have deeper pockets, they have deeper cash reserves, and many small businesses were already struggling to make ends meet. And again, that's going to be one of the big shifts that we see. We're going to see a shift in the way people live, a shift in, you know, a lot of these people are so afraid of all of this. They're going to continue to act differently. They're going to be like paranoid about human interaction or someone standing close to someone. And so it's definitely going to be a shift in all sorts of different areas. Now we see in Nevada, the governor has ordered the closure of health food stores. That's what people need right now. These are the natural grocers that sell supplements as well. The National Product Association is launching a grassroots campaign to push back against that. So I guess regular grocery stores are staying open and the other stores that sell natural products, natural organic food and supplements are being forced close. This is extremely important. On a related note, we see because of these closures, coronavirus claims an unexpected victim, Florida vegetables. This is a picture of vegetables that are having to be dumped and wasted because the farmers that were selling to restaurants aren't able to supply the restaurants. So they're just stuck with all of this stuff and they're just sending it out to be compost, I take it. That's not good. That's a lot of squash and zucchini there. Mounds of harvested zucchini and yellow squash ripened and then rotted in the hot Florida sun. Juicy tomatoes were left to wither unpicked in farmers' fields. Thousands of acres of fruits and vegetables grown in Florida are being plowed over or left to rot because farmers can't sell to restaurants, theme parks, or schools nationwide that have closed because of the coronavirus. And then we see much of the same solution that the government is offering, which is simply to create more money, just to create more money out of thin air. Senator Schumer proposes $25,000 heroes pay for frontline workers. Now, I will say that I do have an appreciation for those essential services, the folks working at grocery stores. There have been people that work at HEB, which is a big grocery store chain here in Austin, Texas, that have fallen ill with coronavirus. And so people are out there on the front line, so to speak. But I see just more kicking the can down the road when the proposed solution by lawmakers is just to create more money over and over and over and over. You can only do economic voodoo and funny money for so long before the chickens come home to roost. And we were already in a state of economic chicanery and fraud and faux economies, even though Trump touted his success with the stock market booming. When you have a country that's tens of trillions of dollars in debt, and when you have constant deficit spending by the Congress, that can only go on for so long before there's a mass correction that takes place. And what happens when there is a business cycle that ends or a recession like we saw in 2008, rather than allowing the free market forces to come in and correct and to take out those industries and businesses that made bad investments, they just inflate the currency more and bail them out with the discount window, just exacerbating the problem and kicking it down, postponing the inevitable collapse and crash. So everybody better be ready for a long ride. And go back to our advice from this article here, why gardening and the Great Depression and the war effort, they called them victory gardens. So gardening should be your go-to quarantine activity for more reasons than one. Then at this on top of that, because there's a shelter and because there's coronavirus, we see that grocery stores are turning to robots during coronavirus. So this is another one of the shifts that we see taking place. There's all sorts of societal and cultural shifts we see taking place. And perhaps after this, more people are going to stay inside. There's been a huge boom with Zoom and people doing teleconferencing, doing classes online, online courses, online business meetings. And it's likely after this all is all said and done that people very well may continue on with those practices instead of coming back out and getting down to business as before. This we see with this article here is perhaps another one of the changes that we're going to see. Grocery stores are going to continue to keep the robots in and keep the people out. Now, there is some good news, I guess. Twitter's Jack Dorsey, love him or hate him, he's part of this big tech village, not as bad as Google and Facebook, but he's donated $1 billion, around 28% of his wealth, to coronavirus relief. So this goes out to those that think we shouldn't have billionaires. They say billionaires shouldn't exist, as though are they going to like kill the billionaires or just snap their fingers and wipe out these people, right? Because it's a person that's worth $1 billion. It's not like an abstract concept of a billionaire. But here we see people that have amassed immense wealth using some of that money for good. Now, we can only hope that the bulk of this donation isn't going to the World Health Organization, for example, or to fund vaccines and stuff. But I think they talk about one of the charities that he's donating to, same one that Jeff Bezos donated to, Feeding America. Not really sure with their background, but here we see that people are helping. Another example of helping, This is from the Mind Unleashed. Millions of masks, 2,000 ventilators donated to hospitals in New York. This was from some very wealthy people in China. But unfortunately, they had to do some backroom negotiations and jump through a lot of hurdles to even get the stuff over here because of the regulations that are in place. But this is going to New York, which is having the bulk of the deaths and the bulk of the cases that we see across the country right now. It looks like one of the donors was Joe Tsai and fellow Alibaba co-founder Jack Ma. Alibaba is a big wholesale site where you can order stuff very inexpensive wholesale, so you can retail it in the States. So that's going on. There's some good news. Here we have someone that tried to do something nice and lost her job because of it. This is a story on the Mind Unleashed as well. Again, all of these stories are on the Health Freedom Report. I invite you to check out the Health Freedom Report daily and bookmark this page. Check it out regularly. There's always great news. It's modeled after the Drudge Report, except it has a tint focused on health freedom. And we're going to cover some articles and stuff that you would not see on the Drudge Report. Although they do link to old Alex Jones pretty often. So that's love or hate Alex Jones. He definitely shares some stuff that's against the party line. A nurse bought protective supplies for her colleagues. The hospital suspended her. She raised more than $12,000 to buy protective gear for her colleagues who say they felt inadequately protected. Olga Matsyevskaya and her fellow intensive care nurses at Newark Beth Israel Medical Center in New Jersey were so desperate for gowns and masks to protect themselves from the coronavirus that they turned to online fundraising site GoFundMe to raise money. The donations flowed in, more than 12,000, and Matsyevskaya used some of, I guess that's Swedish or Polish, used some of her, some of the money to buy 500 masks, 4,000 shoe covers, and 150 jumpsuits. She and her colleagues at the hospital celebrated protecting themselves and their patients from the spread of the virus. But rather than thanking the staff, hospital administrators on Saturday suspended her for distributing unauthorized protective gear. Man, that's a tough break. We see a lot of people trying to help others, even these like startup companies that are creating coronavirus testing that's in home and it's like a kit you send off. And then the FDA shuts them down. There's this authority complex that we have in this country and other countries where if people were just left to help one another, there wouldn't be such dependence or semblance of dependence, illusion of reliance on the government and big institutions like your hospital administrators. Here's a story from the Conscious Resistance Zone, Derek Brose. This one has been rather controversial and created quite the stir. Derek Brose has been going around asking questions to those that believe 5G is the cause of coronavirus, and he's asking for some facts or scientific data to back up those claims, and he hasn't really been able to find much. There's a lot of speculation and conjecture that takes place in the truth-seeking community, and because he brought that up and questioned it, he was being said that he was a sellout and a shill for big data and for these telecom companies. But of course, I've known Derek Brose for 10 years, over 10 years now, and just know that that's not the case. Now, one thing that can be said is that there's a lot of research out there showing that 5G technology can affect the human immune system, human cells. And so when there is a pandemic and virus is spreading, having 5G towers activated may make people more susceptible to the virus, create an environment where the virus is more effective, attacking the body, creating all sorts of problems. So that's that. But to say, see, here we go. While there are legitimate studies detailing the impacts of EMFs on the immune system and damage to cells, as well as at least one interesting study on 60 gigahertz affecting oxygen uptake in the atmosphere, as of now, we have no direct evidence to support these claims. The claims he's talking about is that the radio frequency radiation has weakened the immune system of individuals, thus allowing COVID-19 to kill them. Some online commentators suspect. Well, there are actually articles out there. I think there was one. I was watching Alex Jones. I check the website occasionally. I used to be into Alex Jones back in 2002. In fact, he's who got me open to all this thinking when I learned that 9/11 was carried out by criminal elements. But this other guy that I follow named London Real, who is more of like a success, just general entrepreneurial kind of stuff. He interviewed David Icke a week ago, and it was a hugely successful interview. I listened to it and actually caused me to think about the coronavirus in ways that I hadn't considered. And then he did another interview with David Icke, this guy, London Real. It was live. There was like 5 million people watching. It was the most popular live video on YouTube that day, and YouTube censored it and scrubbed it. Well, Alex Jones had this guy, London Real, on. That's where I learned about the Jones interview. And he was actually covering some of the studies that say the 5G has immune issues. Let me see if we can pull that study up real quick. I'm looking up 5G immune system study, or maybe they're in the comments. If you guys could link to, I know there's a study that I just saw recently. If anybody could help me out here, 5G wireless communication and health effects. This might be it right here. For those of you that are doing research and stuff, a lot of these studies where you can, I mean, some of the studies are skewed and they use like a small sample size and they go ahead and create the test so as to most likely bring about what it is that they want as their predetermined conclusion. I remember examining this in the National Institute of Standards and Technology, their big thick study on what brought the buildings down on 9/11. And they had different variables like the strength of the impact of the plane, the heat of the fire, the damage to structural integrity from the plane collapsing. And so they ran these simulations with that data. And whenever they ran the simulation and the towers didn't fall with what they thought is the most likely data, they even had an extreme case as well, as far as the variables being stronger, it being hotter, the impact being stronger. Whenever the result wasn't a collapse, they simply tweaked the variables so they were even stronger to bring down the buildings. And so they had a predetermined conclusion that they wanted to show. And that's unfortunate. So let's see if we can just skip to the conclusion here. And I'll admit, I'm not an expert on 5G, but it seems to be all the rage on the conscious resistance. And Derek Brose has done a lot of research on this. Regarding the health effects of the 6 to 100 gigahertz frequency range of power densities not exceeding the exposure guidelines in the studies provide no clear evidence due to contradictory information from the in vitro investigations. Regarding the possibility of non-thermal effects, the available studies provide no clear explanation of any mode of action observed effects. Regarding the quality of presented studies, too few studies fulfill the minimal quality criteria. Well, maybe it's another study. So I do think that it's entirely possible that the 5G towers and the signals that come off of them, the energy that comes off of them, can have an effect on the body's immune system. And perhaps that is what the problem is there. But I don't think that the 5G is causing coronavirus. And there's a lot of people that are just running roughshod with all sorts of different theories that aren't based up on fact or science. And now we actually do see that the powers that be are taking stuff down, right? They're taking down articles, videos, and anything that has that link, right? So whether it's true or not, people should be able to speculate or be able to present their theories in that regard. But instead, the big tech companies just censor it, wipe it off, throw it down the memory hole. So that's unfortunate. Derek's linking to something. There is no credible evidence-based science showing that 5G is responsible for COVID-19. The group does recognize that there are thousands of studies showing that RF microwave radiation can have severe biological impacts, but there's no proof of a link to COVID-19. So it sounds like there are some scientists that are looking at that link as well. All right. In other news, this actually, I think, is a front for Prison Planet or InfoWars, because I saw this is actually an article written by Paul Joseph Watson. If anybody remembers that guy, Big Three Networks to air One World Global Citizen Coronavirus Benefit Concert. The non-governmental organization Global Citizen has teamed up with CBS, ABC, and NBC to broadcast a One World Together at Home concert that will air on more than a dozen cable channels as well as radio and YouTube later this month. The concert is set to take place on Saturday, April 18th, and will feature performances from numerous big-ticket artists, with all the proceeds going to the World Health Organization. Our good friends at the WHO, the WHO, which is a United Nations organization, which is funded and partnered with the Rockefeller Foundation, as well as the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And they are big trouble pushing vaccines in mass is one of their agendas. It'll be hosted by Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, and Stephen Colbert. Wow. We can presume that this will take place from everyone's home, right? But just the whole terminology that they're utilizing with the global citizen. We don't have global citizens. Yes, we are all human beings living on this earth, but we don't have a global citizenship as though we're citizens to a global state, which is exactly what the United Nations, Rockefeller Foundation, and all these chums hope to accomplish. This is an article I should have put over here earlier, covered earlier. 1 in 5 NYPD officers call out sick. That goes back to the whole frontline thing. You know, I've had a lot of time as a police accountability activist. I'm aware that the police are simply the enforcement arm of the state. But, you know, I wish these guys were out there doing good, but they're just enforcing silly stuff. And a good friend, Danny Panzella, that contributes to this channel, he's there in Brooklyn, and there's like snitch neighbors that are calling the police on families that are playing in the park. And of course, the police show up and cite people, and they're getting sick. So maybe if they were doing something a little more beneficial for the public, they wouldn't have to worry about getting sick. But we see that the World Health Organization is doing this benefit concert. There's a story we didn't hit earlier, but it's also on Health Freedom Report. Let me talk about it now. The Trumpster was speaking down against the World Health Organization yesterday in his press conference. I was watching it live, and he talked about how the World Health Organization has downplayed coronavirus and was speaking out against countries that were closing their borders to China, for example. And he made the claim, which isn't much of a claim, it's more like truth, that the World Health Organization is very China leaning. And he said, we're going to look into that. And he also inferred that they may pull the funding because apparently the World Health Organization, not apparently, is funded more by the U.S. than any other nation state. So that's actually some good news. Trump has kind of been railing out against some of these supranational organizations. So I can appreciate Trump. I don't appreciate him on much of what he does, but I do appreciate that he's going against the whole globalism and internationalism, which is something that we can cheer him on for. All right, before we wrap up, I just want to stop on something funny and quirky. 11 bizarre consequences of the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. This is from Forbes. It's just some kind of fun stuff. My friend Ari Armstrong observed, it's pretty amazing how fast marijuana went from being totally outlawed in Colorado to being essential. Yes, the times are changing. Liberal Green Bastion San Francisco has banned reusable grocery bags with new government recommendations that everyone wears a mask in public. A friend commented, now the bank teller looks at you funny if you don't look like a bank robber. A news headline from August 8th, 2019 read, video game addiction is officially considered a mental disorder, says the World Health Organization. Speaking of our friends at WHO, a headline from April 1st, 2020 now reads, the World Health Organization is recommending video games as an effective way to stop the spread of COVID-19. Justin Trudeau banned foreigners. Mexicans demanded crackdown on Americans crossing the border. City dwellers are fleeing to rural areas. The Illinois governor labeled gun stores as essential, and Republicans are giving out universal basic income. It's all changing, ladies and gentlemen. The nation is suffering from a glut of chicken wings. Strip club dancers are making ends meet by delivering food. After Hong Kong's Ocean Park Zoo closed its doors to the public, two pandas were finally able to mate after 10 years of unsuccessful attempts. Perhaps they just needed a little privacy. Perhaps we all need a little privacy from Big Brother as we started the surveillance states being rolled out. All right, folks, I want to thank you for joining me. I also want to invite you to stick around. The Derek Brose is going to be premiering something in just about 14 minutes. So we've really been pumping out a lot of good quality content on the Conscious Resistance YouTube channel, the Conscious Resistance Facebook page. So I want to invite you to stick around, continue to chat there. You can chat on his video that'll be premiering here in less than 15 minutes. I also want to invite you to check out the Health Freedom Report every single day. We're constantly putting up new and breaking news. Be sure to bookmark the page as well. Just go to healthfreedom.report in your little corner, click bookmark this page, stick it on your little bar there, and also support our sponsors, BraveHealthStore.com. Check out BraveHealthStore.com. You can follow the link down below, and there you'll find some really nice hand sanitizer that's made with colloidal silver and alcohol, as well as some immune-boosting herbs and supplements. I tell you about the water filtration systems, but they're on back order for a few weeks. All right, this is John Bush of the Live Free Now podcast and the Health Freedom Report, reminding you to live free, stay healthy, and have fun. Enjoy life. We're going to be okay. This too shall pass. I'm out. Bye.